Well, we've made it. This is our final study in the Epistle to the Romans. This is study number 16. Watch out for those who cause divisions. Taken from Romans chapter 16. We have noted that Paul has outlined his understanding of salvation, how mankind can be made right with God, find peace both now and for eternity with the Creator, God, through Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone. And part of that deal is that once you surrender your life to Christ, you become a part of the community of believers known as the church. And Paul is now concluding this magnificent epistle with the implications of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We see from Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that it involves complete and utter surrender. This is not where we end, this is where we start. And it also involves being a part of the community of faith, the community of believers. Paul has taken great lengths to stress that you cannot live an isolated life in following Christ. You must be a part of a community of believers. This is hard, it's difficult, and for many people today, it's just too difficult because they are so offended at times by people because they are people, and it puts great strain on relationships. And so Paul has something to say about that. We're going to see what he has to say about that in this closing chapter. And we're going to see that in this chapter, he greatly honors certain people, which is something perhaps we don't do that well today. We're also going to see in this closing study a bit of a revision of the Epistle to the Romans, and we're going to introduce a concept called the Romans Road. Now, as with any of the studies, it's ideal that you sort of ease the group into it and build some of the camaraderie. Here we are talking about following Christ by being knitted together, being a part of a community of faith, a community of believers. These questions, entitled In the Group, form the basis for going some way to doing that. So let's have a look at these questions. When you do nothing, what do you do? And you can start on your left and go around to your right. So the idea is that people are able to share what they do with what people sometimes call their spare time. I'm not exactly sure what spare time is, but it'll open up for discussion. It's a pretty broad topic, but that's the idea. We want people to discuss what do you do when you do nothing. Second question, if you could make one improvement to our city, what would it be? And here's the caveat on that. You can't pick one that someone else in the group has already said. So you might want to start from the right and go around to the left. Let everybody have an opportunity to share on this one. Then the final question, if you could take one learning pill so that you would instantly know something, what without having studied it, what would it be and why? So if you could take a learning pill, what would it be? I think that's an interesting question. Get people thinking. Okay, so let's have a look at the study. We're in Romans 16, and we are going to look at this closing chapter of the epistle, and it goes like this. The epistle to the Romans explains how to be at peace with God from now and into eternity. You don't become a Christian, a follower of Christ, to receive salvation. Now, I say that knowing that some people may well have become a Christian simply to receive salvation. But I've got here, you become a Christian because you received salvation. There is a point of distinction there. Now, I want people to see that we don't become a Christian so that we can become saved. But when we are saved, we become a Christian. It really is a matter of faith. You know, we're putting our faith in Christ, and that is simultaneous to our conversion experience. So it's not that we become a Christian without being converted. We're converted, then we become a Christian. I hope that's cleared up as you lead your group in this study. And when you did, you became a part of a family. You now have new brothers and sisters who care for you and for whom you can care for in return. All right, question one, what does Romans chapter 16 verse 1 tell us about how the early church regarded women? Romans 16:1 says this, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria. Well, straight away, we notice that in this great hall of fame that Paul is introducing us to, this list of notable people who had an influence in Rome, we're introduced from the outset to a woman. Now, we in our age today might think, and your point is, well, back then, that was a really big deal. Women did not have a role of honour. There was no place of prominence for women back in the first century. This was a big deal. This is the gospel, not only redeeming women, but redeeming more or less the gender, showing that women are a vital part of the plan of God. Question two, based on what Paul says about how the church in Rome should treat Phoebe when she visits, how should we treat visitors to our church, and especially, how should we treat visiting ministry? So we've read verse 1, here's verse 2. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. So, based on that verse, we can see that Paul is saying, look after this woman, treat her well, show her great hospitality. She's on her way, she's conducting a mission. Perhaps she was on her way somewhere to strengthen or establish a church somewhere. And Paul is saying, give this woman what she needs, help her out. Well, there's a practical application there, quite possibly, for how we treat visiting ministry today. And it's worth us considering whether we are in the spirit of this verse. Verse 3, from Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, what does this tell us about how women contributed to the early church, and where did some churches meet? That's a sub-question. So Romans 16 verses 3 to 5 says this, greet Prisca and Aquila, so other translations have Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. So what do we learn from that verse? It tells us, firstly, you notice the greeting is not to Aquila and Prisca or Aquila and Priscilla. It mentions Priscilla first. Again, it's elevating the stature of women. So this is one of the benefits of the gospel of Christ to the role of women, is that it gives them a place of responsibility, a place of honour. And this is, I'm not even dealing with the question of women in ministry or leadership or government in the church. That's not the issue here. Women have a role, they have giftings, and there is an appropriate place to use those giftings. And Paul is noting that and asking for the church to honour those people. We note also that it says they risk their lives. I give thanks to all the church. You give thanks. Greet, it says in verse 5, greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus. And the point is the church met in the house. Now, some people take verses like that and they take the account of Acts and they say, well, that's where the church today should meet. And there needs to be a little bit of cultural context put here. The church was actually, for by and large, was an illegal outfit, and meeting in homes was just, you know, pragmatically, that was the only place they could meet. As soon as it was possible for them to meet in more public venues, we note from church history, they did. Now, whether that became a distraction, that's another discussion. But the principle that the church should meet in homes, because the early church met in homes, is a very far stretch. All right, from page 66, reading Romans 16, verses 4 to 15. So that's really the honour roll of people that Paul mentions there. We should see that women played a significant role in the early church. In fact, there's a number of women mentioned there. Junia, for example. I'm just looking at my Bible in front of me here. There's just a number of women who are named. Julia, and his sister Olympus. So these are some of the women mentioned. You can find more in that passage. It shows that women had a vital role in the early church. We should also see that the early church often met in homes as well as public spaces where it wasn't outlawed. So we do read in Acts that they met in the public arena. Sometimes they met down by the river. Sometimes they met in more public places. Oftentimes they met in homes, and we need to be careful to assume, in assuming, that these homes were tiny little, you know, apartments. Oftentimes these homes were very large with a courtyard, and the courtyard may well have been where the early church was meeting, and that courtyard may have held, you know, maybe easy, 100 people, easy. So let's be very careful about the assumptions we're making about what the early church looked like simply because it met in homes. We read here, we should note that God honours those who serve him. I mean, each of these names are now honoured for eternity in this account of Romans 16. And serving in a local church is honouring God. What a great thing to allow into our hearts that we understand this. Question 4. Who are we to watch out for in our churches and why? Based on Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. So Romans 16 verse 17 says this, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. So the question is, who are we to watch out for and why, based on that verse? Well, we're to watch out for those people who create obstacles, and we are to avoid them because their obstacles create division, and it's an unwholesome division. Some division, Paul says to the Corinthians, is wholesome, but in this instance, it's unwholesome. Verse 18, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. So here's the why part of it. How does that verse give us some clues for how to also spot them? Well, it says that they use flattery. They use smooth talk, and they particularly target the naive. So there's some clues on how to spot these people. They flatter, they use smooth talk, and they target the naive. Question 5. Why did Paul want the believers in Rome to be particularly careful and wise? Verse 19. He says this, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. So innocent as to what is evil and wise as to what is good. Now, why did he want them to be particularly careful and wise? So that they wouldn't be led astray. So that false teachers couldn't come in and lure them away. He wanted them to be careful about evil in the church. He wanted them to be careful and pay particular attention to being good. But there's a wisdom associated with being good. Sometimes we think by giving people what they want, we're actually being good to them. And that's certainly not the case. Not always the case, anyway. Satan's strategy against believers included condemnation. While the temple existed in Jerusalem, and therefore daily sacrifices still being offered, even after the death of Christ, Satan still brought a kind of condemnation to people who could not keep the law. In just a few short years after Paul wrote this epistle, the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans. That happened in 70 AD. And Old Covenant animal sacrifices would forever be brought to an end. In the months leading up to this, it appears that Satan went on a rampage trying to destroy Christians. Paul prophetically told the Romans that Satan was soon about to be crushed under their feet. So we need to be mindful of the historic context of that verse in Romans 16 verse 20. Verse 6, based on Romans 16 verse 25, what two things are able to strengthen the believer? Now to him, it says, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. So what is it that strengthens believers it's the gospel, that constant reminder of the life and work of Jesus Christ, and preaching. Attending church is one of the most, it should be, one of the most strengthening exercises a believer can experience. Coming to church and hearing a well-preached message should strengthen believers. And Paul says these are two ways that a believer can be strengthened. Question 7, what is the goal of God's command to all mankind within the gospel? So what does the gospel command all mankind to do? Verse 26, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. So what's the command within the gospel? The command is to obey. The obedience, it says, of faith. So God commands all people to believe, to put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the command. And it's not by keeping a law or a set of laws that we are made right with God. But in this instance, we see that God commands all people to put their faith in Christ. Romans 16 verse 27 says this, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. According to that verse, who is the chief agent of God being glorified and why is he? To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Who is the chief agent of God's glory? Jesus Christ. Why is he? Why is he the chief agent of God's glory? Because he is the one who came and died on the cross at his father's, as an expression of his father's will. He perfectly completed the will of God. He perfectly lived a life that gave his father glory. He is the one worthy of glory and the one who gives that glory to his father. So Jesus Christ. Now we're going to essentially review the epistle to the Romans. This is called the Romans Road. Here is a simple outline of the epistle to the Romans, which you should memorize and use in your personal evangelism. You might like to write this in the margin of your Bible or use the numbers with the next reference to help you find them. Even if someone you had shared your testimony with asked you how they too could become a Christian, this Romans Road would be a great introduction and foundation for them to receive Christ as their Savior. So what I suggest is, if you can just remember the first one, Romans 3:10. So we go Romans 3:10, then in the margin of 3:10, you put verse 23. So the question is, who needs to be saved? Well, it says, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Number two, and this is where I'd next to verse 23, I would write 6:23, chapter 6, verse 23, part A. What are the eternal wages of sin? And it says the wages of sin is death. And that kind of death is eternal separation from God. Then I would just put A and then B, because the B part of that verse has a but in it. It's a glorious but. And it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it's a gift. How do you get that gift? Well, this is where next to verse 23, you write 5:8, Romans 5:8. When did God love us, and how do we know this? Romans 5:8, but God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. And then next to that, I would put 10:9, and we're going to look at 10:9 and 10:10 and 10:17. So Romans 5:8, we've seen God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in 10:9, the question is, how do we receive the gift of salvation that God offers us, having just seen that? When did God love us? While we were yet sinners. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. So how do we receive the gift of salvation that God offers us? Romans 10:9, all those who call upon the name of the Lord and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, shall be saved. Something transacts in our heart that causes us to receive the salvation that God offers, and we confess our sin, we call upon him to be the Lord of our life. Question 9, so we've gone Romans 10, 9 and 10, Romans 10, 17. That's Romans Road. The question then would be to someone, is this something you would like? Would you like peace with God? Would you like to confess your sin to God, ask him to forgive you of your sin, and to give you the free gift of eternal life? That's the question, having gone through Romans Road. Question 9, what have we learned about the gospel from this study of Romans? So this is not just chapter 16. This is the whole deal. Let's review this. What have we learned about the gospel? Now, in some instances, this is going to be an utterly new experience for people who have simply attended church and have never had to think through their faith. They've never had to think through why they are a Christian. And this study, hopefully, will give people some of the grounding that they need in order to live the Christian life. So people will put their answers there. Question 10, how has God spoken to you through this study series? Well, and again, we're looking for people just to reflect. Again, I would put it to people. Let's start on the left. Let's go around the group to my right. So if you've got 4 or 5 people in your group, it won't take long. And you sort of, in a minute, tell me, or in 2 minutes, tell me, how has God spoken to you through this study series? Well, even going through Romans Road, someone might go, you know what? I could do that. I could actually do that. If someone came up to me and said, how can I have what you've got? Well, let's have a look at Romans and I'll show you. Well, I hope that God will, perhaps some have heard God speak to them that you could do this. Question 11, write out your prayerful response to God based on what you've learned in Romans. And, again, that prayerful response might be, God, use me. Use me to reach people for you. Help me to have the gospel clearly understood enough so that I can share it with others. Something like that. Well, God bless you. This has been an epic journey for many of you. You've gone through 16 Bible studies in this series. For many of you, meeting every fortnight or so, this is basically a year-long curriculum. And if you've made it all the way through from study 1 to study 16, you deserve a medal. You've done very well. If you've got people in your group who've been there for every Bible study, you probably want to give them a chocolate bar or some sort of reward. They've done well also. You can find more free downloadable Bible studies at andrewcorbett.net/studies. And I trust that you continue to study God's Word. God bless you. And if you want to give us some feedback, you can do that at Dr. Andrew C., using that at symbol, and you can contact me on Twitter. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.